And on our phone lines right now is our longtime friend from, two decades back when we started doing the show, when he was a fullback. And I guess you never stopped being a fullback. You probably stopped putting the pads on as often. But now the general manager of the San Antonio Commanders of the Alliance of American Football, he is Darryl Johnston. Hello, Moose. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing very well. Welcome back to the show. It's been a little while. That's our fault.
It is.
We'll do better. We'll do better next time. So we have so many questions for you.
I want to know, does this mean you're not a TV guy anymore?
No. I'm still doing both. Able to navigate both. It got a little crazy around Thanksgiving time because we had the quarterback camp and the quarterback draft as we got towards the end of November. One of the big things that Bill Polian wanted to make sure that we did with the Alliance was to get quarterback equity across all the 8 franchises. So we actually had everybody down in San Antonio along with about 20 wide receivers and put them through kind of a combine simulation of throws, the field work, not a lot of the measurables, but we did interviews and had them on the field, did evaluation there, and then we did a draft out in Las Vegas to get the quarterbacks equally distributed throughout the franchises. And then we had a mini camp about the middle of December, and then you were prepping for training camp the beginning of January. So, yeah, it got a little hectic there towards the end of the NFL season, but I was able to navigate. So I'm going to continue to do both, and I think this year is probably going to be the more time-consuming year, because we were a true startup. I mean, we're starting from ground zero. So hopefully we've got our feet underneath us a little bit next year. And it won't be as crazy as we get towards November and December. I expect it to be busy, but probably not as crazy as this year.
Are you living full time in San Antonio now?
Yeah, kind of, which has been, it's been hard being away from my wife and my daughter. I can sneak back from time to time. I've gotten back twice, 36 hours, 48 hours at a time. When there's some windows, Diane came down for the game this past weekend. So we're trying to find time. But it's one of those situations where you look at the upside of taking on this challenge and, is this opportunity ever going to come again? Are you always going to be wondering what would have happened? Had you taken it, if you decided not to. So, they've both been great. They've let me kind of chase this thing full force, and I couldn't be more grateful to my wife and my daughter. So I miss them a ton, but we stay in touch, and the technology today helps out quite a bit. So I've talked to several dads who kind of had to go through the same thing with working away from home on extended time frames, and got kind of some of the secrets that they found helpful in navigating everything.
How do you find yourself? Like, did they approach you? Had you been looking to get into management in some way?
It was the most bizarre set of circumstances. I've been probably looking at this for about 3.5 years, just having a little bit of fun with it. In our production meetings on the weekend, I tend to slide more big picture when I talk to the coaches and the players. I've always been intrigued by teams that develop championship chemistry. It was something that I had in college with our Syracuse team. Obviously something I had in Dallas with our Cowboy teams, and just always enjoyed the opportunity to talk to, last year, Doug Peterson, about the transition from the previous season to a Super Bowl championship. Some of the guys that have come in and had success right away, Matt Nagy in Chicago, we had him a couple of times, and what he felt was important. So I've always been trying to steer questions towards those angles. And John Dorsey was great for me up in Kansas City. I've always stayed in touch with Andy Reid. He's always been a good friend, and I'd go up there for training camp just to get back in that football mode before the NFL season started with Fox, and struck up a relationship with John Dorsey. So he took me through his whole draft process last year, and gave me a list of guys to check in with, from personnel directors to scouts he had a lot of respect for. Made me go see Ron Wolf, made me go see Bill Parcells, to really find out if this is what I wanted to do. And then I reached out to Will McClay and asked him if I could come out and spend the time during OTAs with him, and was out there in the month of June. And one of the guys who was integral on the business side of the Alliance was in Dallas for his son's wedding. And he and Will McClay actually worked together years ago in one of the startup leagues, and Will was his personnel director. So, you know, he stopped by the Star and they were chatting, and Will said, "Hey, let me call Daryl in here. You know, this could be interesting." And one thing led to another, and you know, Jerry and Steven were great. They actually called Bill Polian and gave a recommendation on my behalf to Bill, and that was really kind of the biggest part that sealed the deal. So this is such a timing and circumstance situation that was amazing. And you know, Will called me like 3 days later. He said, "Listen, I think they're going to offer you the job for GM down in San Antonio." He goes, are you willing to do that?" So that's when I had the conversation with Diane and Evan, and you know, it was too good of an opportunity to turn away. You know, having talked to Ron Wolf and Bill Parcells, you know, what my learning curve would have been going the traditional route. You know, this opportunity has accelerated that by anywhere from 5 to 8 years in this process.
Man, that's really interesting. This is Daryl Johnston with us here on The Ticket, and I have watched your first two games. I am watching this league as a curiosity, and it's also unsettling because I like to know everything, and then I'm watching this league and I don't know anything about what's going on necessarily. So I've got a bunch of those questions for you, but before I beat you down with questions I probably should already know the answer to if I'm going to be a media guy, just start with this. What's that city like right now? Because your crowds are really impressive, and it seems like San Antonio's pretty gaga over having a football team they can call their own.
Oh, it's amazing, and it's been that way since day one. You know, we were down here in late June, early July to do the announcement of the franchise, and Mayor Nuremberg has been amazing as a supporter. And as you pointed out, having had the Riders here, having had a couple of professional teams that were a part of the San Antonio community but never lasted. You know, the big one was the Saints here during Katrina.
Yeah.
You know, they had the Oakland Raiders kind of play them against the city of Las Vegas for a potential move. So they're so excited to have professional football here. And since day one, the support has been fantastic. We've had little events down here, and we've had 750 people, you know, 1,100 people. And the other franchises, you know, they were getting 50, 75. You know, we announced our team name and our colors and had 1,200 people in the Alamo Dome. We did a Facebook Live. Had the whole team out. It's just been amazing, and they continue to do that for us. We've had great partners down here already that we've established. HEB's been great, you know, supporting what we're doing, and they first week bought 5,000 tickets to distribute to military families and the men and women who serve our country. Did that again last week. It's just everybody has embraced this, and the funny thing was, in the conversations the last few days, everybody here in San Antonio is like, we're usually only talking about the rodeo right now. I mean, the rodeo is the big thing in San Antonio right now, and all anybody wants to talk about is the Commanders. So, yeah, we've caught lightning in a bottle right now, and it's just a question if we can play well enough to keep it going.
Does each team, because we're talking about the news today of the investor pulling out and new investor coming in and all that kind of stuff, does each team not have an owner?
No, we are a single owner entity. So we are owned by one group that's up above us, and then we all kind of follow the same rules. You know, all revenue is pushed up, all costs are pushed up. So it actually is very interesting. So we can change something that we don't like in our game from week to week. You know, not even an example, because they had this in place prior to the season starting, but the Sky Judge concept came together in literally about 7 to 10 days, right before the season started. We're pushing really hard right now for a couple of changes. So from week one to week two, we went from a traditionally, you know, third quarterback rule of the old NFL, where you dress three quarterbacks. If the first two get hurt, the third can enter the game, but then he can't leave. We didn't think that made any sense, so we fought long and hard as GMs with the football people, and from week one to week two, we got that change where all three quarterbacks can dress for the game. Any three can play. They just can't be on the field at the same time. You can't have two quarterbacks on the field at the same time. We're pushing now to get a 52-man roster on the field on game day dressed. We do 52-man rosters, but we can only dress 44. Everybody gets paid the same. There is no increase in cost. It's a developmental league for guys to get reps in game time situations. So why are we preventing eight guys from doing that? So now we're pushing to get our rosters expanded. I don't think we'll get all the way to 52. But we would, what we've proposed is equity between the teams. It could be different from game to game. You know, we're playing San Diego this week. Let's say I call Dave Bowler out with the San Diego Fleet and say, hey, we're 49. We've got three injuries. We're only going to be able to dress 49. Then he would match us at 49. But we're trying to get as many guys on the field as we can. So that's kind of the great thing with the single owner entity above you. You know, decisions can be made and things can get pushed down very quickly where we don't have to have 32 owners come together and vote on things and have a certain majority that has to accept it for it to pass. So there is a lot of flexibility that works in our favor.
Okay. All right. This is where, and you mentioned earlier, Daryl, you're really into the minutiae of roster building and so forth. And that's when I'm watching, that's all I can think of. So forgive me if we don't have a long conversation here about Logan Woodside in particular or whatever went on this week. I just want to ask you a few of these questions as I'm watching the game that are all over my football brain.
Absolutely.
One, the NFL, every January, the NFL signs all sorts of guys to future deals to get their rosters up to like 90, which they can be in the offseason. These are camp bodies and guys who just want a chance, and they work out in the NFL, and that's the way it's been since, I believe, since you were a player or even before that. I'm guessing this has really affected those guys, and they have to choose between, do I want to be an NFL camp body or do I want to be a member of this roster? Isn't the boy, this might not be the best question as much as it is an idea, and I'm sure one that you guys have thought about. Isn't it best if the leagues are sort of tied together so that those practice squad guys are the actual skeleton of your rosters at some point soon?
That would be fantastic. Right now we're in competition for those guys, but we'd love to be complementary to the NFL in that fashion. And that's really what NFL Europe was at the end. You know, if you sent over a certain number of guys to NFL Europe, you got roster spot exemptions for your training camp. So that's how they entice guys to from the NFL to send guys over to NFL Europe. We would love to come up with something similar to that, because right now we do have to compete for those players. And you are exactly right. You know, that futures contract, all that does is guarantee you a roster spot on the 90-man roster. There's no payment during the course of the offseason. They're starting to give some bonuses because we were starting to take some of those players away. And we've got some really good data over the last 8 years. About 8% of all the guys in that futures pool make it to a 53-man roster, which came out to be about 1.5 guys per team in the NFL. So those were your chances of being on a futures contract and getting to the 53. So we're hoping this year, after our first year, we're going to be able to put out a number that's better than that, so we can start to show these guys, listen, there's an alternative. You don't have to just do a futures contract and go work out with the team. You can come down here and actually play football in games, learn from really, really good coaches, you know, work on your craft, work on your details. We've got a guy down here, Tyrone Holmes, who I'm still trying to figure out why he's not up in the NFL on a 53. He's a great pass rusher from the outside. One of the things he wants to do is work on special teams, because that's what they told him. You know, you've got to become more than just an outside linebacker pass rusher. You've got to be a core special teams guy. So he's down here on our punt and punt return teams, and he's kind of bummed out we're not kicking off, because he wanted to be on that as well. So they know what they need to work on, and it's just a question of finding the opportunity to be able to work on that part of their game. So we think we're going to make a lot of headway into that pool of players. And since week one, and we got all the publicity, we've had a number of guys that have reached out and now requested contracts from their allocated franchise. So, you know, we're too far down the road at this point. I'm not messing with the chemistry of our team right now. You better be a difference maker as a player if you're going to come to our league at this point, because, you know, we've been at this for 7-8 weeks right now, and our team has developed great chemistry. So the guys that believed in us early on are reaping the benefits right now.
When did those guys sign?
Well, the last guy we signed, so Tyrone Holmes was one of the last guys that came to our roster. He was on San Diego's practice squad, so he came to us a week after San Diego lost to the Patriots in the playoff game.
Okay.
Nick Rose, our kicker, actually got pulled up from our roster to the San Diego roster for that playoff game to kick off in that game. So some of them came late. Demontre Moore was a late addition to San Diego. We've had a couple of really late additions. But even, you know, it would have been interesting to see, you know, the guys from, you know, that had the Patriots and had the Rams as allocated players, you know, from those practice squads, you know, were they willing to bring them in at that stage? Because they weren't going to be able to get them until week two of the regular season.
Yeah.
Were your rosters already set? You know, was your chemistry built? Did you not want to really kind of fool with anything at that point? Or is that guy just such a potential star in this league that he was worth the risk? So we'd love to get a little bit better with the calendar with the NFL because I think some of the timing hurt us as we got close to the beginning of our season, as the playoffs were winding down. But those are all things that hopefully we'll work on, during the course of this first year together.
Okay, this is Daryl Moose Johnson. Another couple minutes here as I try to figure out how this league works. So, okay, let's say player X has three sacks a week or two sacks a week through 4 weeks, and the Baltimore Ravens and the Dallas Cowboys both want him. Is he... You guys can't have your best players just leaving mid-season, right? There has to how's this work to – I mean, but at the same time, you probably want those guys to follow their NFL dreams for next season. How does all of that work, and how do NFL teams – you know what I'm asking. How does this whole thing work?
Yeah, well, hopefully kind of back to that futures contract versus playing down here. What gives you the best opportunity? Do you really want to leave here right now? You're playing really well here right now. Wouldn't you want to stay here and continue to build your craft as opposed to leaving and going to the Baltimore Ravens or the Dallas Cowboys to lift weights and, you know, run around on the field with shorts and T-shirt on? We're putting together some really good film for some players here. And isn't that more important than leaving and going to a team? So that was that whole conversation. But the most important thing is you can't. As of December 28th, you're with us. So you've signed a contract with us. We do allow players to leave. So we've had, you know, this started back in August. We signed some players back, you know, late August that actually were called up to practice squads during the course of the season. Tyrone Holmes, the guy that we talked about, we got him via Kansas City, but he was signed off of our roster to the San Diego Chargers roster. We lost several guys during the course of the fall from our roster up to NFL practice squads. But then they would come back to us when the time was right. And as long as we had them signed as of December 28th, they were our property. The NFL couldn't touch them after that date. So it does get really, it really gets sticky there between December 28th and January 8th. There's a 10-day period there that we've got to become friends. We've got to be complimentary with the NFL and be able to do good business. Cause it was very competitive during those 10 days. And as you pointed out, the most important thing we're trying to do here is create opportunities for guys to get back to the NFL. And we think that what we provide here with the Alliance is the best option at that time of year.
So you want to be friendly with the NFL. Would you consider the XFL to be your nemesis?
I wouldn't say nemesis. I would say competition. Vince McMahon, has amassed quite a fortune. He's going to have very deep pockets. He's going to be able to be on financially sound ground for a long time. My challenge with the XFL is, where do they get their players from? We know that there's a whole nother pool of players coming out next year, but we really, really got a really big head start on them this year by beating them to the punch and really kind of dipping into that pool of players who were out on the street and getting some connections with the NFL and the CFL and having a good experience that hopefully they will come back to us. Where are the players going to come from in year one for the XFL? And really, in my opinion, the most important thing is distribution. Charlie Ebersole has done a tremendous job in selling this brand, and we're working with Pro Football Focus. We're on TNT, we're on CBS, we're on CBS Sports, we're on the NFL Network. I've heard that Fox will be a distributor for the WWE, but what else will they use to distribute the content? We've done a good job of really hitting the major distributors, and what's the most important thing this time of year from a sports standpoint? I mean, what is everybody dying for right now? The Final Four, the Masters. Well, we've tied up CBS and we've tied up TNT, that really are the big partners in March Madness and the Masters. So as you're watching March Madness and you're waiting for the Masters to come on, you're going to continue to see the Alliance, being advertised. We're going to, it's just a great job of marketing and branding for what we're doing here. And I think it's going to be hard for the XFL to catch us.
Daryl, it's been a pleasure watching your endeavor in San Antonio and visiting with you. I hope we can do it again real soon. Thank you for the time, sir.
Awesome. Anytime. Let's not make it so long next time.
I agree. And we're in San Diego this week?
We are in San Diego this week, which is kind of odd. We played them week one, and we're playing them again week three. And you know, and I was telling some of the coaches here, I said, boy, we used to have that happen to us in Dallas. I remember a couple of times, you know, playing Philadelphia 3 weeks apart, playing the Giants 3 weeks apart. You know, those are tough assignments. So we're going out on the road, and we'll see how we respond. We played really well last week. There was some really, really good football on that field. We had four bad plays. We gave up 220 yards in four plays. So other than that, we had a pretty good afternoon, but you can't make it that easy for your opponent. So we've got to get better in certain areas, and it'll be a tough challenge against Mike Martz.
Well, it's fun to watch football in the springtime, and I'll be checking it out. Daryl, thank you. We'll talk with you again soon, sir.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
See you, man. That's Daryl Moose Johnston.